Joining me is David Johnston. We're going to talk a little bit about the effect that I don't know if they're quite record prices for farmland in this area, but they certainly seem close if they're not. And first of all, Mr. Johnston, let's talk about one of the effects. It seems that we're seeing a lot of prices over $10,000 an acre on prime farmland. So first of all, is that going to be a barrier for people who may be wanting to get into farming or expand their operations because of the high land prices at this point?
Well, certainly. It's, you know, land values have always been a barrier to expansion for farmers. Limited capital, of course, like everybody else. But they always have the need and the desire to expand their operations, so it's easy to run out of money in a hurry. And so that's what that is a barrier for many farm buyers.
Do the low interest rates to some degree offset some of the high prices, or are the prices so high that the interest rates don't make that much difference to someone who's looking to purchase land?
Well, the interest rates will always have, you know, some effect. However, they don't have the effect now as what they have had in the past, primarily for two reasons. One, the rate is lower than it's been for, you know, decades, in essence. But more importantly is the fact that the buyers in this market are primarily cash buyers. So interest rates irrelevant to a totally cash buyer as far as borrowing any funds whatsoever. And the majority of the buyers are cash buyers in this market.
Now, is that because obviously a farmer basically gets paid once a year essentially obviously some commodities might have different harvests, but basically you get one paycheck for your operation. So is it because of the method of payment that they have that, or is it because farmers have savings from previous years, or why do they have so much cash to be able to afford some of these things?
Well, the reason they have the cash is we just had a few good years as far as commodity prices are concerned, and it's just as simple as that. So the bank accounts have rolled up a little bit, and it produces some funds that are available for purchasing farmland as well as other needed inputs on the farm. Farmers traditionally, when they have a little more disposable income, will spend it for one of two things: bigger and better and newer machinery and farmland, and that's their that's where their money will go. Currently, the machinery inventory is relatively high. Those kinds of purchases have pretty well been made. So here we sit today. It's land's turn. It's always land's turn if one can afford it. But all of a sudden now we've got the machinery paid for, or at least the inventory's up, and so any excesses wants to flow into land.
How much, too, are high commodity prices contributing to that? Because obviously if you can produce a good that people want, that would seem to me as a layman to make the land more valuable. So are high commodity prices a part of that equation, or do they have very little effect on the actual land prices that people are paying these days?
Well, they have the effect of, of basically having greater profit at the end of the year, and therefore we have funds to buy. A psychological effect, you know, we all feel good if we're getting more for the goods and services that we might produce. And so that makes us optimistic, and that's a factor too. You know, if we feel good and we feel good about the future and lack of uncertainty, why, we'll tend to spend a little more. So it does have an effect.
What about, too, the long-term trend we've seen in the increase in the size of farms and the decrease in the number of people who are actually living on farms? I mean, that's been a historical reality, and I would assume that just because of economics and the market, bigger is generally more efficient. So is that pressure still working to make farmers try to get more land either by renting or by purchasing land?
Well, yes, absolutely.
And that hasn't gone away. That's still
absolutely not. That's correct.
What about the reality of these values? And by that, I mean obviously anything is only worth what someone will pay for. You and I both know that. We've had times in the past when farm values would go up, be kind of a bubble. They might drop precipitously in a year or two. I think 70s, we had a period like that in the 70s, I think also in the 80s. How real, and I use quotation marks in the air here to kind of emphasize that, how real are these values? I mean, is this a bubble? Are buyers pushing the values up perhaps artificially, or is there a real solid basis for prices of like $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 an acre we're seeing in some parts of Illinois?
Well, there's a solid basis because we're still in a position of having a capitalization rate or a rate of return on those dollars invested in land that will generally run, say, 3 to 4%, in some areas 5% currently. And so when you're getting those kinds of returns, that continues to attract buyers to say, well, especially in the current non-farm economic environment. What kind of a return do you get on a CD these days? And you look at that, those pitiful numbers, and you say, guys, 4.4% look real good if I put it in the farm. In addition to that, we have a fair amount of uncertainty in the national economy, and for that matter, the world. And when you have uncertainty, people just by inclination want to return to something that they feel is safe and solid and going to be there if other things fall apart. The land will always be there. Many of the people that are interested in buying farms have probably not removed from the farm very far, one generation maybe, or even less, or a little more. But they always know where they came from. They always feel that solid relationship with the earth and the land. And so in a time of any kind of uncertainty, we all return to safety. And that's what's going on right now. And in addition to that, anyone who might have very, very little relationship to the farm, removed maybe multiple generations, that do have some wealth. These are people that probably have a lot of money in the stock market, and there's a degree of uncertainty there, more than maybe in normal times. And so we are seeing some what I call scared money, or uncertain money, however you want to put it. I name all my money, so I give it names so it means something to me. But uncertain money is looking for certainty, and there is certainty in the foundation that agricultural land provides.
Are some of the international agreements helping too? You know, we've got various types of freer trade, headed toward free trade with like South Korea, with many countries around the world. Governor Quinn in his State of the State speech, and I don't think it caught a lot of press, was that one thing he'd like to do is double exports from the state by, say, 2014, and undoubtedly that would include a lot of agricultural products. So is that export market also helping maybe push these land values up because of the demand in particularly Asia?
Well, certainly. I mean, it always has been a big factor, the export demand. And, of course, it continues today. And I don't see any reason why it won't continue on into the future. Because for the first time in the history of mankind, we have a lot of people in the developing countries that have the ability, always had the willingness to buy better food and more food, and now suddenly have the ability through all kinds of international trade and so forth. And so I see a continued strong demand for the grain that we grow in West Central Illinois.
Are the prices in the current market, is it changing anything in the way that farmers operate? You know, one thing we see around here a lot of, and we're not going to get into the debate over pro or con, but we are seeing more of the large-scale operations, sometimes called the confined animal feeding operations, which have a big investment, as you're talking about, probably people looking for investments. That can be a very profitable undertaking. Are the prices, and as you also talk, that investment income, are those things in any way changing the way that farmers operate? Maybe are they focusing on certain parts of the operation instead of being broad-based as we used to consider them? Every farm used to have a couple of cows and a few pigs and would grow, you know, umpteen different grains. Are farmers maybe specializing more now because of the market?
Mm, I, I, Well, not necessarily because of the market. It's just what makes economic sense in that kind of a small business to be specialized. And so we've been moving towards specialization for decades and are continuing to do so now. We do see some areas that we see different kinds of agriculture may be moving into an area. There may be some areas where an area shies away from certain kinds of things. Hog production, for example. There's a county in north central Iowa that has embraced livestock production. And it's been a good thing for the entire community. There are some communities that do not embrace that kind of thing or any kind of change and become a little bit backward sometimes. I do know that in the north central Iowa area, there are a lot of hog production there. And it used to be that because of the differential in corn basis in that area, that area had a 15% discount as far as land values are concerned compared to, say, west central Illinois or McDonough County. That has disappeared. The reason that's disappeared in part is because of they have embraced change. They have been willing to say hog production is perhaps a good thing. They've been willing to say there's nothing wrong with a wind turbine. They've been able to say ethanol works. And all of those things have changed the whole dynamics of that three-county area that I'm familiar with in north central Iowa. You don't see that in west central Illinois.
It sounds like you don't look for any big decrease in values anytime. So it looks like you think this is pretty stable.
I think it's stable to strong to even increasing for the next 2 years. That's all the planning horizon I can do. Beyond that, I don't know. Talk to me in a year and I'll maybe have another 2 years. But right now, 2 years, and I see it strong. I see a very good, strong floor under it. And probably the biggest reason that I see that strong floor under it is that we do have a lot of cash buyers. Our equity position is strong in the countryside, probably just the opposite of what we had in 1980 when we began a depression in the countryside. And at that time, you know, we were roughly, depending on where you get your statistics, maybe perhaps 80% mortgaged up. Today, we're probably the opposite of that. We're only 20% mortgaged up. So we've got 80% equity out there. We've got cash buyers. We've got – that produces a tremendous floor under the market. And no banker's ever going to bang on your door if you don't owe them anything. It's just that simple.